Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Thursday, the 11th day of April, 2024. The Biden administration just keeps on proving, and yet half of America is too ignorant to see. What does the Biden administration continue to prove? That they are anti-United States of America. They are anti-American. They are anti-good old USA. They have all but lifted all of the sanctions over the last year against General Maduro in Venezuela, allowing free and open sales of Venezuelan oil to where? Oh, that's right, to America, to try and alleviate some of the pain of Bidenomics, of Bidenflation, of Biden's extraordinarily high fuel prices that we are seeing climb once again. AAA estimates that before the 2024 November election, gasoline in the United States could average once again over $5 per gallon. It's up a quarter in the last 30 days on average throughout the United States per gallon. And the Biden administration lifted temporarily under something called GL-23 or GL-24, General Ledger Item, the sanctions that were placed against that communist regime who promised they would hold free and fair elections last year. So Biden and his administration lifted the sanctions temporarily to allow the free flow of oil, of gas, and other minerals like, you know, gold, to fund their friends in Iran, Iraq, and other places that hold Americans and other Westerners hostage. Shall I name those countries? I think you already know. How about Hamas? Still holding supposedly 40 plus known hostages, many of whom were Americans. So now Israel is being asked by the Biden administration, please, please participate in a ceasefire. Stop killing the people of Hamas. You're pissing off my potential voters in Michiganistan, in Dearbornistan, in Detroitistan, you know, those Muslim cities in the United States of America, in the Muslim state of Michigan. Representative Rashida Tlaib, without towel on head, was interviewed by a Fox News reporter. She didn't know it was a Fox News reporter at first, and he was asking her a series of questions over the weekend, and he said, "What do you think about your constituents in the Dearborn, Michigan area, Muslims chanting openly in the streets, death to America?" Now, before I get into her response, let me just say this. Muslims in the United States chanting death to America, to me, it doesn't seem like they want to improve their lives. It doesn't seem as if those Muslims in America are seeking to make things better here in America if they're chanting death to the very country that currently feeds them, houses them, clothes them, and cares for them medically. They are seeking to destroy the United States of America from within. So, Rashida Tlaib, Democrat, Muslim, American woman who is in the United States Congress. Think about this. Could she possibly be a congressperson in Afghanistan, Iraq, Qatar, go F yourself a Stan, or any of those other stands over there? Any of those other Muslim countries? Hell no. She would be forced to wear a hijab or a hijab or a hijab or whatever they call the towels they wrap around their heads. She would be forced to wear Muslim garb that covers her from head to toe, with only her fingers, her eyes, and her toes showing. She would not be allowed to go to school. She would not be allowed to participate in any government operation over there. And yet, she enjoys the freedom of being a representative of the United States of America's Congress. And when she was asked over the weekend, "What do you think about the many weeks-long chants by your constituents, your Democrat Party registered, wrapped in towels, Muslim Americans, supposedly, up there in Michiganistan, Dearbornistan, Detroitistan?" She says, "No, I don't condemn them shouting death to America. I condemn Fox News." Wait a minute. You're supposed to be a representative of the people of the United States, and you swore a duty, probably with your fingers crossed, to uphold the Constitution of these United States of America, which include what? The First Amendment right to freedom of the press, which grants Fox News and Channel 2 and Channel 6 and Channel 9 in Michigan the right to their public access to the airwaves. And you are condemning the free press, but you refuse to condemn a bunch of towel heads. I'm sorry if that seems racist, but a bunch of towel heads, rag heads, whatever you want to call them, chanting death to America. I am utterly shocked and surprised that some far right-wing nut job practicing with his firearm, his legally owned Second Amendment protected firearm, hasn't been out somewhere in Michigan practicing target practice, and a stray bullet or an accidental discharge hasn't gone off. But that's just my opinion. I'm not calling for that in any way, shape, fashion, manner, or form. So before those of you who troll the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z go out there and say, "Ha-ha, we got him. Here's a guy who's trying to encourage someone to off a member of the U.S. representatives." That is not what I'm suggesting in any way, shape, or form. I'm just simply saying, with all of the shootings that occur in this country, supposedly at the hands of wacko far-right wing extremists, I'm really surprised that certain members of our representative government haven't accidentally been grazed. Just saying. Here is a member of our United States Congress who refuses to condemn a group of radical extremists in her own district chanting while committing acts of violence, while destroying public and private property, while calling for genocide, refuses to condemn their actions. She claims that they have the First Amendment right to free speech. And they do. You can say whatever you want in the United States of America, except the N-word or shout fire in a crowded theater, supposedly. Oh, and there's an asterisk on that shouting the N-word. It's okay to shout the N-word if you're Joe Biden. And it's okay to shout the N-word if you're a member of the 13% hyphenated American Blafrican minority. For some reason, they can say it, you and I cannot say it. And don't hand me the "you don't understand because you were never a slave" bullshit line. Because no man, woman, child alive today has ever been involved in slavery in the United States of America. And I can say that firmly because slavery ended in 1863, not 1963, as the public school system would have some young churin believe. Speaking of which, a group of middle school students learning United States history. A group of middle school students in Detroit, Michigan, were asked, when did slavery end? Who ended slavery? And their answer was shocking. Well, not really shocking, given the nature of the public school systems in our country and the disinformation and the misinformation that they spout forth. Many of the students in the ninth grade and eighth grade in a junior high school setting in Detroit, Michigan's public school system were asked those two questions: who ended slavery and when did slavery end? And many of the students responded, slavery ended in 1963 when Rosa Parks sat on a bus and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. freed them. I'm not making this up, my friends. This is what was actually said by a bunch of ill-informed, ignorant, uneducated public school students in Detroit, Michigan. Rosa Parks ended slavery by sitting in the back seat of a bus in 1963 when she was freed from the bus by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So then they do the math. 73, 83, 93, 2003, 2013, 2023. This happened last year in 2023. Students today in that school system believe that slavery ended only 60 years ago, and it was 160 years ago. So again, no man, no woman, no child, no mother, no father, no grandmother, grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, great-great-grandmother, or great-great-grandfather was ever a slave in these United States of America. Okay, now that your history lesson is done for the day, let's look at some other news. Severe spring storms go through the United States of America every single year. They have done so for millennia. That's thousands and thousands of years, my friends. Spring storms before the Army Corps of Engineers destroyed places like New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Metairie, Louisiana by building levees on the Mississippi River. Spring storms and the spring thaw of snow melt would come down the Ohio and the Mississippi River and bring fertile soils and sediments down the river, which would replenish the Gulf of Mexico Delta in and around New Orleans, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, and Lake Charles, Louisiana. And it did so naturally for millions of years since the Mississippi River was carved out down the middle of North America. That's the way nature, Mother Nature, intended it. But starting around the 1910s through 1920s and into the 1930s and forward, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said, you know what? Let's build levees and we'll block in the natural flow of the Mississippi River. We'll stop that flow. We'll stop the natural depositing of sediment each year and fertile lands and soils to keep the sinking delta from sinking. Why? Well, because we have friends in Congress who want us to do that so that they can build cheap houses on concrete slabs at ground level instead of having us build land and raise houses up on pier and beam foundations. We're going to allow our buddies in the construction industry to sell swampland to people under the pretense, under the guise, under the false notion that by building levees, we can protect them from the annual spring thaw and the rising Mississippi River that has risen every single springtime since God graced the earth with the Mississippi River. And yesterday, New Orleans experienced what it experiences every time a heavy rainstorm hits. New Orleans experienced street flooding. Heaven forbid, street flooding. And since some of the homes in the city of New Orleans are built on concrete slabs at street level, and since the city is sinking because deltas and marshes and swamps naturally sink, it's part of the geological formation of land. The low-lying lands eventually sink back into the oceans. There was water in a few homes in New Orleans yesterday. And the usual suspects, without their teeth, without their bras, without their makeup, with their hair in curlers or their wigs or their weaves precariously placed upon their heads, out there in sloppy t-shirts, came before the cameras and showed their uneducated nature, their ignorance, their stupidity, and they used their Ebonics accents to condemn not the mayor of New Orleans, who is a black female Democrat, not the former Louisiana governor, who was a Democrat, not to blame their own House of Representatives member from their district, who is a black male Democrat, not to blame Joseph R. Biden, the guy who's been president for the last 3.5 years. They tried to blame Donald Trump because they got water in the back room of their house, living below sea level, in a city that is sinking, in a city that relies on a 120-year-old pumping system that runs on an antiquated electrical grid that doesn't even use 120, 220, or 440 volts. It uses some obscure voltage regime that must be modified by antiquated, no longer produced, obsolete switching systems. One woman got on the television yesterday, looking at the street that was flooded in front of her home with mountains and mountains of garbage and leaves, because oak trees lose their leaves and deposit those leaves on the sidewalks and streets. And this woman doesn't feel that she should have to go out and rake her yard or rake the streets because she didn't be done plant them trees 100 years ago. And so the leaves of the trees that fell into her yard and into the street have piled up and piled up and clogged the catch basins, the drains at the side of the street, to the point where the pumping system could not get the water to drain and be pumped out. And therefore, the water went into her home yesterday. And she had the nerve, the unmitigated gall, the stupidity, the ignorance, the uneducatedness, and of course, mixed in with her local accent, which is a bastardized form of Ebonics, said, "I don't know why Donald Trump didn't come down here and clean these leaves out of the street, because he leaves been down here for 2 or 3 years, and now my house be done got water up in it, and that's all Donald Trump fault." You can't make this stuff up, my friends. You can't make it up. Another woman, without her teeth, without her bra, walked out, looked like two cats fighting in a sack on her stomach, said, "I don't even believe the water be coming up my house like this. I be done live here all my life. Every time it rains, the water be done come in my house. I don't understand why Donald Trump and they ain't did nothing about it when he was the president. And then the COVID hit, and when the COVID hit, Joe Biden, he had a little time to come out here dealing with the COVID, and now my house got water up in it again. And Donald Trump won't be the president again. I don't know what we gonna do in this here country."
There's something in the water in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'll say it again, there's something in the water that these people must be drinking. Maybe it's the Kool-Aid powder in the water that makes them think in any remote way, shape, fashion, manner, or form that a former president of the United States who hasn't been president for 3.5 years could possibly remotely be responsible for the fact that they A, bought low-income housing, bought low-income housing below sea level in a city. Oh, they didn't buy it? They didn't. They're renting the property, or they inherited the property from their great-great-grandmama. Thank you. Appreciate that. That they are living in the city of New Orleans, which we all know is well below sea level, that they choose to live there, that they refuse to maintain their property, to even sweep the leaves out of the catch basins after being begged to do so by the Black African American 13% minority female carpetbagger mayor, a California transplant, no less, LaToilette Cantrell, the mayor of New Orleans, not even from the area. She got kicked out of California for corruption, so she came down where she knew she could rule the ignorant and be the mayor of the city of New Orleans. And where was the mayor of New Orleans yesterday? Was she at the command center of the Emergency Operations Office in New Orleans? We don't know. Because the news media refused to go to the New Orleans Emergency Operations Center and interview the mayor or anyone in the city of New Orleans government. She didn't. They didn't. Not a single radio or television station went to the New Orleans Emergency Operations Center. Probably because they knew the mayor was not there. She's probably on another city government paid vacation with her boy toy, the police officer assigned to her personal protection detail. They didn't go and interview the mayor of New Orleans. They didn't go to the operations center to see the emergency operations manager, a man who was caught drinking and driving a company, government, city-owned vehicle and involved in a major crash that totally demolished that vehicle while drinking and driving. And yet, not only did he keep his job, he got a pay raise. Yeah, that's how New Orleans works, my friends. They didn't interview him either. But they were quick to ask where the Republican Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Protection, where were they? Where was their office to open and deal with the ever ongoing, constant, continuous flooding of the city? The highly biased, because their constituents are majority African American, and the Democrat registered league of television ambulance chasing lawyers that advertise on those stations make damn sure those stations don't do a lot of investigating of the mayor, of the majority African American city council, of the majority Democrat registered party constituents. They didn't bother to interview the mayor, to ask a single question. Why didn't you instruct your constituents to go outside and clear the leaves from the catch basins in front of their homes and simply put those leaves into a garbage bag and set them to the curb throughout the year for your inept garbage crony contractors to pick up? That would be too much to ask. No, the news media was more interested in the latest, how can we get Donald Trump indicted before the next presidential election, which will occur in 207 days from today. It's 206, 206 days from today. They are more interested in whether or not Donald Trump, 20 years ago, paid a model to keep her mouth shut for showing her titties to the president. Before he was the president, before he was ever in public office, when he was a private citizen running a major real estate conglomerate and went to a party and somebody showed him her titties. And maybe he boned her, but who cares? You don't think Joe Biden's been boning all these years, 40-something years in the United States Senate, using the N-word on the floor of the United States Senate, but he gets a pass because he's a Democrat? The double standard is alive and kicking, my Truth Hurts program listeners. The only good news I can give you this week is the 3 days of darkness didn't come in after the eclipse, and we didn't die as a globe. The world did not come to an end. Meanwhile, the United States continues to funnel money through the Bank of Qatar, or Qatar, or Cater, or however the hell you choose to pronounce that nation over in Sandistan, in Desertstan, over there in the deserts of the Middle East. We continue to send money to Iran, who then funnels the money to Hezbollah, to Hamas, to ISIS, to the Taliban. And Rashida Tlaib, a member of the United States House of Representatives, could not even get on television and condemn people in her own city from chanting death to America. Can you imagine? By the way, those people are also shouting death to Israel. They're calling for the open genocide of the entire Jewish people. And yet, the Jewish upper management of CBS, NBC, ABC, PMSNBC, CNN, they're all Jewish. And they refuse to condemn openly Hamas for shouting death to America, for taking Jewish and American hostages. When Jimmy Carter was the president. Sorry about that, folks. The old phone rang, and you know, when you do the program here on the cell phone, sometimes you have to answer it. Otherwise, it just keeps ringing in the program, and you guys hear the ringing. So, my apologies for that. And I have pretty much forgotten, because that was a 20-minute phone call, I've pretty much forgotten where I was, so I apologize to you for not finishing that thought process. President Joe Biden is a traitor to the country, and with less than 210 days before the next election, you have to start seriously thinking about whether you want this to continue. Bidenomics, open borders, criminals crossing and committing heinous crimes and being excused for those crimes, the Biden crime wave, Bidenflation, the recession that is still headed our way, massive layoffs in multiple industries, and of course, all of the other things that Joe Biden has brought with him into this 3.5 years of his presidency, 3.25 years. Or do you want to go back to a time, not a time, but a situation where you have a real president who doesn't allow death to America, who doesn't call for the open destruction of our country? It's really that simple. You have two choices, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Those are your choices. Honestly, those are your two choices. And if you choose to go with Joe Biden, I can only say I told you so, and you get what you deserve, because that's where we are. Look at what is happening right now versus how much better off you were when Donald Trump was the president. Make it a great day. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Copyright 2024, The Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. Background music, Jason Shaw and Audionautix.